Unit 131, Emergence or Spheres of Influence. Page 1. Structure. 131.0, Objectives. 131.1, Introduction. 131.2, Cutting of the Chinese Melon. 131.3, Dividing China into Spheres of Influence. 131.4, The Open Door Policy. 131.5, Threat of Partition. 131.6, Let us sum up. 131.6, Let us sum up. 131.7, Answers to check your progress. 131.8, Books for further reading. Page 2. 131.0, Objectives. In this unit, we will discuss some important aspects of the emergence of sphere of influence in China. Sphere of influence were coastal areas when certain countries felt that they had exclusive rights. They tried to influence that certain area to behave as the country behaved. The Chinese tried to resist as much as they could to stop these parasites from getting into their country. After going through this unit, you should be able to know the following. First, the countries that owned spheres of influence were Austria, France, Germany, Great Britain, Italy, Japan, and Russia. Next, the Americans tried to use any option to create spheres of influence in China besides force. Next, America was attentive on owning a part of China because the silk and tea were prized and valued. Next, when China refused to the open door policy and spheres of influence, all countries kept the Chinese in check. Next, European powers wanted to have favorable trade terms from China, much against her wishes. Next, many European countries wanted to have contact market for dumping goods made available to them due to the Industrial Revolution. Next, Europeans wanted to spread Christianity there. Next, problem of extraterritoriality was another cause of confrontation. 131.1, Introduction. Throughout the 19th century, China's emperors had watched as foreigners encroached further and further upon their land. Time and again, foreigners forced China to make humiliating concessions. Foreign regiments, armed with modern weapons, consistently defeated entire imperial armies. Now, as a new century was about to begin, Su His, Empress Dowager of the Qing Dynasty. Su His, Empress Dowager of the Qing Dynasty, searched for a way to rid her empire of foreign parasites. Page 3. Australia, France, Germany, Great Britain, Italy, Japan, and Russia all claimed exclusive trading rights in certain parts of China. They were dividing China into spheres of influence. Some even claimed to own the territory within their spheres. By acquiring the Philippines, the United States became an Asian power too. Now, with a strong base of operations just 400 miles from China, American businesses hoped to take advantage of China's vast resources. The foreign sphere of influence, however, threatened their nations. So, while the Empress was hoping to close China to foreigners, Americans were looking for a way in John Hay, now Secretary of State, had an idea. Since Public opinion, strained by the Philippines war, would never support the use of force. He decided to negotiate. He sent letters to all the foreign powers and suggested an open door policy in China. This policy would guarantee equal trading rights for all and prevent one nation from discriminating against another within its sphere. The nations replied that they liked the concept of the open door, but they could not support or enforce it. Hay's plan had been politely rejected. Nevertheless, Hay announced that since all of the powers had accepted the open door in principle, the United States considered their agreement final definitive. The feverish attempt of the European powers to extend their control over the non-European world was the most remarkable feature of the 19th century. It was a century during which the Europeans seized whatever regions of the earth still remained unappropriated or were too weak to protect themselves against foreign onslaught. The outry for colonies and spheres of influence is strikingly illustrated by the scramble for Africa and the attempted partition of China. It transferred the rivalry of the European nations from Europe to other parts of the world, but mainly to Africa and Asia. In the 19th century, the European powers and the USA turned their attention towards the Pacific countries of China and Japan. Neither China nor Japan wanted these foreigners, but the foreigners fostered themselves like leeches upon Chinese territories and eventually effected a forcible entry. They made a series of unequal treaties with China for economic gain. Page 4. China's acceptance of treaties broke her seclusion. Most of the European powers now vied with each other in scramble for China and in securing concessions. The lion's share was secured by Britain, who, taking advantage of the murder of the British consul, forced a new agreement upon China, known as the Chifo Agreement. By it, four other points were thrown open and British privileges considerably extended. Though the integrity of China was respected, her outlying dependencies could not be protected. In the north, Russia secured the province of Maritime Manchuria. France annexed Annam and the three eastern provinces of Cochin China, including the city of Saigon, and thus laid the foundation of her empire in Indochina. In 1863, she established a protectorate over Cambodia, and in 1867 annexed the rest of Cochin China. To the European powers interested in the spoliation of China was added Japan. She occupied Formosa in 1874 and Luchu Islands in 1879. But Japan was more interested in the acquisition of Korea, which was vital to Japanese security. But Korea had been recognized as a Chinese dependency since its conquest by the Manchus in the 17th century. For 20 years before the outbreak of the Sino-Japanese conflict, Japan had meddled in Korean politics. In 1876, she concluded with Korea the Treaty of Kangwa, which recognized the independence of Korea and opened three ports. Despite this treaty, Korea continued to be loyal to China. By a convention of April 18, 1885, both China and Japan agreed to withdraw their forces from Korea, but both countries kept the right to send troops upon notifying the other. The Sino-Japanese War broke out on August 1st, 1894, which was caused by Japan's desire to control Korea as the gateway to continental expansion. The war was a complete victory for Japan, and China had to sign the Treaty of Shimonoseki on April 17, 1895. By the treaty, China recognized Pescadores and the Liaotung Peninsula to Japan. China also paid a large indemnity, opened 4 more ports to trade, and negotiated a commercial treaty. Owing to the intervention of Russia, France, and Germany, Japan had to restore Liaotung Peninsula and Port Arthur to China in return for a monetary compensation. The Sino-Japanese War stimulated a scramble for Chinese territory by the European powers. Page 5. Thus, China was in the process of being parceled out among the powers. Her outlying territories had been seized. Her trade tariff and postal system were controlled by the foreigners. The former two by England and the latter by France. Her railway lines were financed and were often run by foreign powers. The policy of establishing spheres of influence was nothing but a thinly veiled attempt at partitioning the Chinese Empire, which was being termed as cutting of the Chinese melon. 131.3. Dividing China into spheres of influence. The partition of China began just after the Sino-Japanese War. It was made clear to the European powers, which were in the heyday of their imperialism, that China was helpless, and each felt that if it did not obtain a slice of the Chinese melon, its rivals will swallow it out entirely. This action of Japan in acquiring portions of the Chinese Empire precipitated the scramble. The scramble for China took on a number of forms. There was competition to lend money to China to pay her indemnity to Japan. To meet her obligation, China had to borrow it from abroad. She secured good security, and the loans might entail political and commercial concessions. The Russia won the privilege of advancing maritime customs, and it were to have Great Britain and Germany thereupon insisted that China should borrow from (British) Hong Kong, Shanghai Banking Corporation, Deutsche Asiatic Bank. The China did in 1896-98 and gave as security the customs revenue and salt tax. In 1895, through conventions with France, China agreed to the modification of her Annamese boundary. Some territory thus passed to Annam, which in fact meant to France. China also opened few new treaty ports on the Sino-Annamese border and agreed that if the mines were developed in the three southern provinces, Yunnan, Kevangxi, and Kuangtuang, French manufacturers and engineers would be given priority, and made provision for the building of some railways in that region. Page 6. Great Britain, then a rival of France in empire building, saw in these advances a threat to her interests in Burma and Southwest China. In 1897, She persuaded China to a ratification of her boundary with the British possessions on the south and the opening of the commerce of the West River and of ports on that stream to promise not to cede to a third power certain portions of the frontier without British consent. In 1898, Germany seized Kiachau, exacted a heavy indemnity and obtained long lease, (99 years), to the bay and adjacent territory. With the lease went the permission to build two railways in the province and the promise that the foreign assistance wherever would be needed in the province. Germans would be given the priority. Russia obtained from China a 25-year lease of the southern tip of the Kwantung Peninsula, including the port of Dairen and the Port Arthur Naval Base, as also the right to carry the Trans-Siberian Railway across Manchuria to Vladivostok. These several leaseholders were conceivably the beginnings of the partition. As a further step in that direction, some of the leases were reinforced by Non-Alienation Acts in 1897. France gained from China a promise that the island of Henan would never be ceded to a third power. In the following years, similar assurance was given her for provinces bordering on Indochina. In 1898, Great Britain obtained a promise that China would not lease to another power any of the provinces adjoining the Yangtze. Another step taken by competitors of China was the concession for the construction of railways. They too might form the basis for territorial claims in the actual partition of China. Late in 1896, Russia formed a secret alliance with China against Japan. This contained provision for the construction of railroad across northern Manchuria. It was to be known as the China Eastern Railway. The lease of Liaotung included right to build railway, (). Similarly, Germans in Shantung had privileges for railways. In 1896, 1897 and 1898, France got special privilege for railway construction in the southwest. Page 7. In 1899, Germans were granted a concession for a line between Tientsin and Yangtze. Britain was granted prominent financial position in the railroad between Mukden and Peking. In 1898, Britain signed preliminary agreements for roads from Shanghai to Nanking and from Shanghai to Hong Kong. In 1898 and 1899, Anglo-Italian Company was given concessions for mining. Thus, by 1899, many great steps had been taken towards the project partition of China, but there occurred an event which prevented it. There took place Baxter's Man anti-foreign movement, and the failure of it again revived partition of China, but US Foreign Secretary John Hay had saved China from the table of being partitioned. In 1899, he came forward with what is known as the Open Door Doctrine. It declared that powers in their spheres of influence should maintain an open market, allow equal opportunity for trade to all nations. 131.4, the open door policy. By the late 19th century, Japan and the European powers had carved much of China into separate spheres of influence, inside of which held economic dominance. The US, coming late to imperialism, held no spheres of influence in China. In 1899, US Secretary of State John Hay proposed an open door policy in China, in which all nations would have equal trading and development rights throughout all of China. Such a policy would put all the imperialist powers on equal footing in China and would limit the advantages of having one's own spheres of influence. The Americans tried to use any option to create spheres of influence in China besides force, because they had gotten into a big war with Philippines a few years earlier. The US did not have an exact reason for getting involved with this war. But once America gained control of the Philippines, Americans wanted to change the techniques of expanding their country. Force was considered to be a last resort. So, when attention shifted to China, Americans tried to find another option besides war. America was attentive on owning a part of China because their silk and tea were prized and valued. When China refused the open door policy and spheres of influence, all countries kept the Chinese in check, saying that if the other countries agreed to these policies, they would be accepted even if it did not benefit China. The policy of the government of the United States is to seek a solution which may bring about permanent safety and peace to China, preserve Chinese territorial and administrative entity, protect all rights guaranteed to friendly powers by treaty and international law, and safeguard for the world the principle of equal and imperial trade with all parts of the Chinese Empire. 131.5, Threat of Partition. We have already discussed as to how European powers humbled China in many wars, and she was forced to sign many unequal treaties with Britain, France, Germany, USA and Russia. A scramble for concessions started after the defeat of China by a tiny nation like Japan. This defeat was really humiliating for China. Between 1895 to 1898, China was obliged to grant concessions to almost every power in Europe. When these concessions to this extent had been obtained, threat of partition was very much there. By the close of century, the attitude of Western powers towards China had been very much clear, namely, that of a struggle for establishing sphere of influence. But once that had been established, there should be no mutual conflict. There should be no mutual conflict, but cooperation in exploitation. The ground for partition of China among Western powers, as had happened in the case of Africa, was ready. China had no strong armies and forts to defend herself. Similarly, her trade was being controlled by the Western powers. Western imperialism in the financial field had extended itself, and now China was depending on these powers for establishing her power. Thus, politically and economically, China stood nowhere, and there could be no delay in the partition of the country, if the big powers so desired. When the situation was quite ripe for partition, a question naturally arises as to why the country was not partitioned. Some such reasons were, page 9. Point number 1. In 1999, USA put forth a doctrine of open door policy, which found favor with Britain, and USA explicitly and except Russia from all other powerful European countries in general. This checked dismemberment of China for the time being, till there were favorable conditions for abandoning policy of partition of the country. Point number 2. In 1902, there was an Anglo-Japanese alliance, which proved a great deterring factor in the partition of the country. Point number 3. There was a danger that once the policy of parceling out China initiated, there might be a clash of interest among the Western powers, and thus, their mutual rivalry might lead to many serious consequences not only in China, but in other parts of the world as well. Point number 4. By the end of the century, there was Boxer Rising in China. As we shall discuss subsequently, this rising proved a very serious deterrent and checked on the Western powers in so far as their thinking about partition of the country was concerned. Point number 5. Last but not least reason which checked Western powers from partitioning. Last but not the least reason which checked Western powers from partitioning China was a potential strength. No doubt the country had been humbled many times, but Western powers feared that once she rose from her deep sleep, she will drive them out. No power was therefore interested in taking extreme steps of partitioning the country and driving China to extreme corners. It can be said rather appropriately that it was a matter of chance that China was not partitioned. The concessions were so extensive and of the nature that the partition could be expected at any time. It was, however, good that the country was not partitioned, otherwise it could have resulted in many complications. Page 10. 131.6. Let us sum up. Our attempt in this unit was to discuss with you certain important aspects about the spheres of influence in China. You have learned from this unit that after the defeat of China in Sino-Japanese War, whole of China lay expressed before the Western powers. The only danger was from Japan, which was now acting as a deterrent factor in the exploitation of the country. But this Western powers came forward with their demands for getting more and more concessions. These concessions had to be extended and a stage reached when China's partition seemed almost certain. Thanks to lack of confidence among the European powers on the one hand and the open door policy of the USA on the other, that China did not meet the fate of Africa insofar as partition of the country was concerned. Another point you learnt that the policy establishing spheres of influence was nothing but a thinly veiled attempt at partitioning the Chinese Empire, which had been termed as cutting of the Chinese melon. But China followed the policy of using one power against the other and was able to save herself due to shrewd diplomacy and national concession. 131.7. Answer to check your progress. First, answer the following in 5 sentences each. 1. General Hay. 2. Chifo Agreement. 3. China Eastern Railway. 4. Open Door Doctrine. Second question. Answer the following questions in 15 lines each. First, briefly describe the foreign aggression over China. 2. Why did China refuse to expand trade with the West? 3. What do you understand by cunning of the Chinese melon? Question number 3. Answer any one of the following question in 30 lines. 1. Trace the process of the dismemberment of China till the end of the 19th century. 2. Discuss the extent of concessions obtained by European powers in China. Why was China not partitioned? 131.8. Books for further reading. First, K.S. Lattourette. Title, A Short History of the Far East. Page 11. First, author K.S. Lattourette. Title, A Short History of the Far East. Second, author Brian Harrison. Title, Southeast Asia. Third, author Harrison John A. Title, China Since 1800. Fourth, author Lee Chien Nuni. Title, The Political History of China. S. Mir Samiullah. Page 12. Notes. Page 13. Unit 132. The Sino-Japanese War of 1894-1895. Structure. 132.0. Objectives. 132.1. Introduction. 132.2. Okay.